Hello, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of my podcast I like to call Finnecast. Once again, I just want to, address the elephant in the room and just say I'm sorry that I did not bring an episode to you last week. I am terrible, and I will pay for my sins against humanity, and I apologize for that. With that, I am going to bring you two new episodes this week. Usually what we're going to do is I'm going to bring you a new episode once a week, every Wednesday, no matter what, from now on. But for this week, to make it up to you guys, I'm going to bring you an episode today, which is Wednesday, which is when I'm recording this and should be released by. And also, I'm going to bring you a new episode on Thursday, the following day. I feel bad about that. I apologize. Life got in the way and been feeling a little under the weather, so I apologize for that, guys. Anyway, let's get to the podcast today. Hello, everybody. How are you guys? It's a beautiful night where I'm recording right now. Just been relaxing, watching some really fucking generic Liam Neeson movies, but I kind of like it because it's comforting and it's relaxing, and I like Liam Neeson because, yeah, why not? Anyway, he went through some controversies this year, I guess, but whatever. I guess we're not all perfect, but still, it's a little messed up what he said. Just look at the news, Google it. You'll find out what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's get into some positive stuff. Well, kind of positive stuff. We're going to talk about a couple movies that I've been watching recently. Mostly good. One that was not as great, but you know. But yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into your guys' questions that you sent me and that I was asked to answer. So yeah, we got an interesting little short episode, but you know, I'm going to make it fun for you guys because I love you guys. Sorry about that. There's a car passing by. Okay, never mind. Anyway, all right, let's get into the episode. All right, so what do we got here? Schedule. Okay, so I saw quite a few movies in the last week. One of them was a little movie called Detective Pikachu. So if you want to get some background for me on this movie, one, I don't know anything about Pokemon. I don't hate Pokemon, I can't give a shit about it, I'm sorry. I've had cousins who are into it, and that's great. I played Pokemon Go for a week when it came out, but that's really the only experience that I have. Oh, and I've seen episodes of the show when I was younger, but that's about it. Yeah, so I'm not that much into Pokemon, but I was willing to give it a chance. Yeah, this movie is kind of fucking boring and generic. Maybe it's just not for me. But even then, taking that part out of it, it still is just a boring, generic mess of a film. And the third act, the first two acts are not great, but it's serviceable, I guess. It's still a boring, generic film that we've seen over and over again, with Pikachu. But it really dipped off into the third act, where it just became a fucking mess. I don't want to spoil it too much, because I don't do spoilers on my show. Because I know there are some people who do like this movie and do want to go see it because they're hardcore Pokemon fans or Pikachu fans or whatever. And if you are, that's great. I'm not judging. It's just not for me. But yeah, this movie is so generic, so bland. The actor, I don't know his name. Oh, Justice Smith, I think is his name. The lead guy is so boring, so charismaticless that he's the fucking nerdy guy from that shitty Jurassic World movie that came out last year. Yeah, he was that, and now he's in this movie. But hey, man, he's getting paid. Good for him. But yeah, this movie, it kind of fucking blew. It's not good. Ryan Reynolds was good. I will give him that. I would have preferred Danny DeVito as Pikachu. But I like Ryan Reynolds, and for what he had, he did a fine job. You know, the girl in the movie was bad. Bill Nighy, is in the movie. He's fine, I guess. They do some shit with him in the third act, which is stupid, but I don't want to get into spoilers. That's all I'll say about that. And there's this, I guess, weird twist that happens at the end of the movie. And it's so odd. But yet, I wasn't surprised. You just have to watch it. I'm not going to spoil it. But I watched this movie with my sister. And she's really into Pokemon. She loves Pokemon. She collects the cards. She's into Pokemon Go. She's into everything Pokemon. She loves Pokemon. I looked at her, and she even looked bored into the movie. Like, she didn't laugh at all. I probably even laughed more than her, and she's a Pokemon fan. And it just didn't seem like she was even enjoying it. But, I mean, there are some people who are enjoying this movie, and more power to them, I guess, you know. I don't want to take that away from them. But for me, as someone who's just not into it at all, and into more challenging films, this movie, you've seen it 5 million times over and over again. You don't need to go see this movie. I mean, I guess check it out when it gets to Netflix or Redbox, I guess, if you want to save some money and you really want to see it. That's what I would suggest. But overall, it's not the worst movie ever. It's just not a very memorable one. If I was to score this movie out of 10, I would give it a 3 or a 4 out of 10. A 4 out of 10. It's a 4 out of 10. There were some quality things in it. There were some funny bits that made me laugh, mostly from Ryan Reynolds. And his voice acting was good. It's just the movie itself you've seen 5 million times over and over again, and there's nothing new or original that's brought to the film. So yeah, that's my I don't recommend it. But hey, you know, maybe you guys want to go see it, then hey, go see it, you know. Okay, let's get to some good movies. Well, you know what, let's get to the one that I thought was, just fine, but I thought was gonna be shit. Aladdin. Let's get to Aladdin. So, this movie is, directed by Guy Ritchie. Don't know who he is. He, started out doing British gangster movies, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and, Snatch, which are two movies I love. If you haven't seen those films, I think they're both on Netflix. Check them out. Like, they're great films. He's a very talented dude. He's done a lot of good stuff, like those two films. I like his two, Sherlock Holmes movies that he did with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. I like Rock and Rolla with, Gerard Butler and Tom Hardy and Idris Elba. That's a really underrated film. I would highly recommend that film. Even that King Arthur movie that he released a couple years ago, that a lot of people were just shitting on when it came out, and I thought it even looked like shit. I even didn't mind that film. I thought it was okay, you know, like it wasn't a bad movie, and it was entertaining, and say what you want about the guy. He knows he doesn't just slum it for a paycheck with the movies he directs. He really does try to put his style and his stamp on all of his movies, no matter how good or how bad they are. That's what I do really appreciate about him as a filmmaker. And when he was announced to do Aladdin, I was very, but I was willing to give it a shot, because I am a fan of his, and I do like Will Smith, even though his film roles are questionable at times. I thought he was a decent pick for the genie, even though it's so hard to replicate what Robin Williams did. That dude is amazing. I know everybody has said it a million times, but his performance, Robin Williams' performance in the original film, is truly great and should be remembered, and will never be, you know, Will Smith will never be Robin Williams, you know, and I took that into consideration, and I really tried to judge it on his own, you know, and Will Smith is by far the best part of this movie. He's really good. He's really energetic. He doesn't try to replicate Robin Williams, which I really appreciate. He really does put his own stamp on it, and even the CGI, everybody was shitting on the CGI when the teaser trailers came out. I was one of those guys, trust me. But the CGI does look a lot better in this film. Doesn't look great, but it does look a lot better. And I was at least impressed that they actually did go back and try to fix it the best they can. And on the genie, I should say, all the other effects are fine. You know, it's really the genie that sometimes, especially when he's flying through the air and changing into different forms, that's when it could get a little, and it looks a little odd. But other than that, the CGI was pretty good. The dude who played Aladdin was good. I thought he was fine for the role that he was given. The girl who played Jasmine was actually really good as well. Very pretty girl. Really talented singer too. I was very surprised. And she did a pretty good job as Jasmine. I thought this movie was fine. It's not a movie you need to rush to go see, I personally feel, but this is probably the best sort of remake you could get with an Aladdin film, and an Aladdin remake. This is probably the best it could possibly be, and they did try to extend it. This movie is about 30 minutes longer than the original film, and at times you could see that. You could definitely see that they're just trying to add more to the story, but some of those changes are actually well done. I thought it was entertaining for the most part. I was very surprised. I was going into this movie, I was walking into it like it was a fucking funeral. I'm not gonna lie. I thought this movie was gonna be a train wreck, but it was actually a lot better than I thought. The first 20 minutes, however, I was not a fan of. I thought they kind of rushed into it quite a bit. I thought they were just like, all right, let's go, 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 because everybody knows Aladdin. And it's like, you know what, not everybody. I would have liked if it was a little more slower build. It felt like they were just trying to be like, all right, let's just get to the genie so people will go see it and people will love Will Smith and blah, blah, blah. I wish they would have taken more time to develop the characters before throwing them into, let's get the lamp, let's get the genie on, even the musical numbers are actually really well done in this film. The dude who plays Aladdin, sometimes his singing is fine, because the girl who played Jasmine actually sang pretty well for the most part. And even Will Smith sang a lot better than I thought he was going to sing. But the dude who played Aladdin sung fine. He wasn't a bad singer, but it's just compared to the other singers in the film, I think he could have been better. The dude who played Jafar, I was not a fan of. I would have preferred a more older, more mature actor in the role. And I would have liked if he was more menacing and not just this sleazy, young guy. I don't know. Maybe I need to think about it more. He didn't do a bad job or anything. It's just the character itself, I would have preferred if he was like the animated version, you know, older, more menacing, more scary, you know. But you know, they did, the actor did the best that he did, that he could. But overall, the musical numbers are well done. It's filmed really well. Like I said, Guy Ritchie, no matter what, no matter good or bad, he will always try on a movie, you know, and he'll always put his own stamp on his movie. Hell, his worst movie, Swept Away, the one with fucking Madonna, his ex-wife now, even that movie, while shitty and awful, he at least put his own style on it, and I could still tell that it was a Guy Ritchie movie, you know. And same thing with here. It doesn't become distracting, because that's, a lot of people have criticized sometimes his type of style for being distracting and being like, oh, it's a Guy Ritchie movie, so it has to be fastly edited and crazy, you know. And sometimes that can come off as style over substance, I'm not gonna lie. But it didn't really distract me in this movie, which I was really surprised with, and I was really happy to see that. But yeah, I would recommend this movie. It's just, if you've seen the original Aladdin, you've seen this movie, you know, and that's the hard thing, unfortunately. And you know, if you really want to see this movie, go out and see it, or just wait for it on Redbox or Netflix. But if you don't, then you're not going to be missing a whole lot. It's not a great movie. It's a fine, entertaining movie. And I'd give it a 6 out of 10. It's not a bad movie. Will Smith is great. The acting overall is pretty good. It's just, you know, there are just some things I just wish they could have done better. All right, let's see here. Okay, we're going to get to the best movie right now. This is Rocket Man. This is the new film directed by Dexter Fletcher, who helped come on after Bryan Singer was fired. Bohemian Rhapsody, if you don't know what happened, Bryan Singer is apparently a pedophilic piece of shit in real life. And they weren't done with shooting Bohemian Rhapsody, so they hired Dexter Fletcher to come on and do some of the reshoots and be in charge of post-production, and that's kind of what helped him get the job of Rocket Man. I really like the lead actor, Taron Egerton. I think he's a really talented actor, and he sung all of his songs that are in the film Rocket Man as well. He's a very talented guy, very talented singer. I've loved him in Kingsman. I've loved him in basically every movie he's been in. So I was really interested to see what this film was going to be like, especially since it does take on a more fantastical route on Elton John's life and his career and his drug abuse and his alcoholism and a lot of other things. I fucking love this movie. It was everything I wanted it to be and more. And I'm a very picky guy when it comes to musical biopics. I was very hard on Bohemian Rhapsody, I'm not going to lie. Didn't hate the movie, I just thought it was kind of eh, it was fine. I didn't really think it deserved to be nominated for Best Picture. Rami Malek was great. I think he deserved that Oscar, but I really didn't think the movie deserves as much praise as it got, in my opinion. However, I feel that this movie is so out there and so original, and it tries so hard that I respected it a lot. And there was nothing else. There was no other way I think they could have told this story to make it more unique. And I'm glad that they took this approach. And I'm glad that they actually made Elton John into a real person in this crazy musical world. And I gotta say, Taron Egerton, God, man, he's a contender for my favorite actor of the year so far. He is so goddamn good in this movie. Please, this dude needs at least a nomination. I mean, so far, this is probably the best performance of the year, hands down, or at least in the top two. Like, he's so good in this movie. He sings all his songs, and he does a fucking great job. And he doesn't sound exactly like Elton John, which is something I really liked. Because a lot of these actors will try to sound exactly like the singer who they're portraying. But Taron Egerton really made it his own. And he's a very good singer. He's a very talented dude. I really loved who else was... Oh, Jamie Bell, who plays his best friend / songwriter, Bernie. He's great as well. They have a really great relationship. And you could really see that they're kind of like brothers, you know. And I also really enjoyed the way that the story was told. Not just with the musical numbers, but also like the way that Elton John does tell the story from rehab. I really liked that setting. And it really gave it a more personal connection to the story, especially considering the subject matter on what it's about. I mean, as for flaws, it's hard to pick apart flaws, if I'm going to be honest. I mean, really, the only flaws I could find is occasionally it does hit those tropes of a musical biopic, you know, like, oh, the singer gets big, they're struggling at first, but then they become huge successes in just the span of a few minutes, and then they get addicted to drugs, and there's sex, and craziness, and partying, and rehab, and then they overdose or try to kill themselves, and then they come back and are better than ever. It does that stuff, and that's the part in musical biopics that really bother me. This movie, it didn't bother me a whole lot. It was just kind of like, okay, I wish you could have presented that in a more different way, I guess, but I that was his life, you know, so I can't really fault the filmmakers too much for that. And there are times where the pacing does kind of drag a little bit, especially in the middle. But other than that, I love this movie. I want people to go see this fucking movie. I really hope it does well. It's such a great movie, and it's a celebration of Elton John's life, his music. Even if you're not a fan of his music, I would still highly suggest it, because the way his music is portrayed here is great, and the actual musical numbers and the way they're shot and the way they look is breathtaking. It's probably the best musical I've seen since La La Land, for sure, and I really loved it. I would give it a 9 out of 10. That's hard. 8 or 9. I'm going back between 8 or 9. Maybe 8.5. I'll settle in the middle. 8.5 out of 10. Sorry, guys. I know. I'm an indecisive prick, but you know, that's just how I am, I guess. But yeah, so that was the movies I saw this week. So all right, let's get into the Q&A. Let's stop bullshitting. All right. So how this works is I'll leave a thread in the next couple days where you can see what's going on and what's going on with the new episode and any type of questions you guys would like to ask. It's going to be on my Instagram page at TysonSherburn99. Go follow me there, you know, and you can send me or DM me any questions you have, no matter how weird, no matter how creepy. I will not judge. Go ahead, ask me anything. I really don't care. All right, so this one comes to us from WilliamsFast99. Let me just double check that username. Sorry, it's like cut off here. I apologize. It's from my good buddy, Noah. I hope he's doing good. Okay, it's from WilliamsTooFast. Sorry about that, buddy. And he asks, let's see here. Okay. So he said, if you had to watch one movie, one director, one actor, or cartoon, etc., for the rest of your life, who would it be, or what would it be, and why? Ooh, that's a good question, man. Thank you for the question, by the way. I really appreciate that. So, God. Any movie that's rewatchable, man, there's quite a bit, man. That's a hard question, if I'm gonna be honest. Let's see, or Pulp Fiction, and that's one I've watched over and over again, because it never gets old for me. I love it every more and more the more I watch it. The Big Lebowski is also, The Big Lebowski is probably my favorite comedy of all time. And it's usually hard for me to be impressed by comedies, but that is by far probably my favorite comedy of all time. That would be one. And Goodfellas. I think Goodfellas is also one. Really anything that's done by Tarantino or Scorsese. If you've seen my previous podcasts and my videos on YouTube, you know that I'm a big fan of both of those guys. And yeah, anything by Tarantino or Scorsese. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, especially in Scorsese's and Tarantino's golden age of filmmaking, you know, like Tarantino had Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill 1 and 2. I mean, even Jackie Brown is still a good movie, you know. And that movie is 2.5 hours and there's barely any violence in it. But yeah, like Tarantino's one of those guys who can make just two people talking in a diner, and he can make it interesting. He can make it better than any shitty green screen generic schlock that you see in a fucking IMAX theater. You know, that's how great of a filmmaker he is and how great of a writer he is. He knows what audiences love to watch. You know, he's been a huge inspiration for me. I do some short films, and I really would love to get into filmmaking or writing in any way, shape, or form. I'm really working hard with that while I'm going to school and work and doing the podcast and doing a lot of other shit. So, yeah. I would say if there was one director, it would probably be Tarantino or Scorsese. Any movie, any of those three, The Big Lebowski, Goodfellas, or Pulp Fiction, those would probably be the three movies. I can't pick, I know, it's hard, but But yeah, you know, it's kind of nuts. But yeah, so yeah, those would probably be the two questions, the things I would. I hope that answers your question, man. That's all I'm gonna say. But yeah, I hope that answers your question. But for cartoon, cartoon. Oh man, I'm thinking of Pixar for some reason. I think Pixar. My favorite Pixar movie is probably Up. That's a pretty rewatchable movie for me. I love that film. I know it's fucking depressing, and I'm a emo little bitch, but you can tell me that. I don't care. It's still a great film, and I love it. It's such a great movie. Let's see here. But yeah, I hope that answered your question, man. Thank you once again for the question. Really appreciate you guys asking me questions. And then this second question is actually from another good buddy of mine. He didn't want me to say his name, so I respect that. But he asked me, what are some of your favorite guilty movie or TV pleasures? Ooh, that's a good question, man. Thank you for the question, by the way. But let's see here. Favorite guilty pleasure movies. I do have some guilty pleasure movies. Independence Day comes to mind. I grew up with that film. I know. It's so fucking stupid and cheesy and probably really outdated. But some of the things are still even impressive to this day. Like some of the miniatures in that film when the explosions are going off are great. Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith are still great. You know, like the way they work together is awesome in the last act. The last act in general is just a hell of a fun time. It's so cheesy with Bill Pullman giving that speech as the president, and but it's so good. It's so stupid, but I fucking love it. I watch it every 4th of July. You can ask my mom. Every 4th of July, I put that movie on. And well, the less said about Independence Day Resurgence, that giant hunk of shit, the less said about that movie, the better. You know, that's what I'll say. But yeah, that's one of them. Con Air with Nicolas Cage. Another 90s action movie. That's one of them for sure. God, I'm trying to think of some other ones. Some other guilty movie pleasures. Oh, man. I get the Room, I guess. I mean, if we're talking so bad, it's good, maybe. You know, The Room. Let's see here. What else is one? Cobra. Oh, yeah, Cobra with Sylvester Stallone, where he plays a cop who chews on a match all the time for no reason whatsoever, who's trying to stop a serial killer. That movie is like the most bloodless R-rated film of all time. It is so crazy, especially in the late 80s, early 90s when that movie came out. It's so nuts that movie has like barely any blood in it. And yet it's an R-rated action movie with Sylvester Stallone where he kills a bunch of people as a cop. So, I don't know. Like, that movie is so cheesy and so cheap, but I fucking love it. I watch it at least once a year. No joke. Oh, man. Oh, and then another So Bad It's Good movie that I really enjoy is The Happening. With the M. Night Shyamalan fucking shit piece called The Happening. With Mark Wahlberg going, "Hey, hey, we gotta stop the bees. Come on. Hey, hey." That's a fucking terrible Mark Wahlberg impression. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, that movie, it makes good actors somehow into shitty actors, like Mark Wahlberg, who just came off, I think at that time came off from like his Oscar nomination from The Departed. So he was huge at that point. And yet he decided, all right, I'm going to do this hunk of shit with M. Night Shyamalan. But oh well. Eh, well, they both had their comebacks, so it worked out for them in the end. And then favorite guilty pleasure TV shows. Oh, man. I've been watching a lot of Gordon Ramsay shows. I guess you can kind of call that guilty pleasure TV shows, but it's more like comfort food TV shows, if you know what I'm saying. It's shows that you don't want to watch anything challenging like Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or The Sopranos. Nah, fuck that shit, okay? You want to watch something that's just, that gets you in the mood. You know, you can eat some Wendy's too and you can just relax at night, get in your little PJs and get cozy, you know? I think those are guilty pleasure shows. And Kitchen Nightmares is one of those shows. Bar Rescue is also one of those shows. Any show that has an angry, weird-looking man screaming at people is entertaining to me for some reason. And calling them fucking cunts and calling them all these terrible names is somehow really entertaining for me for some reason. On a depressing note, a show I've been watching recently is To Catch a Predator. I don't know if you guys have seen that show, but it has Chris Hansen, who's this journalist who catches online pedophilia predators before they're about to have sex with minors. Oh, Jesus. I don't know why. It's like, God, it's like a train wreck, you know? It's like watching, you know, that show is like watching a train wreck. You don't want to watch it, but while terrible shit is going on, you can't help but look at it, you know? Like, it's one of those weird shows. But yeah, I hope that answers both of the questions for you guys. And before anybody asks, why do you only answer two questions? Well, you know, I only have so much time, and plus I'm getting you two episodes this week, so I'm going to answer more questions and hopefully give you guys more content to make up for last week. So I apologize once again for that, guys. But yeah, I think that concludes the episode. All right, cool. So thank you guys for listening. Really appreciate it. Check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/TysonSherburn. Check out my Spotify, Finicast, and also we are also... This is awesome news that came out this week, even though I was busy as shit. We are now finally on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts as well. So if you want to check us out on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, all that jazz, you know, check us out. You know, we're on all that, all those platforms and all those softwares. You know, you should be able to find us. But yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you for your patience. Once again, you got a new podcast coming for you tomorrow on Thursday night. Hopefully give it to you earlier in the afternoon, but we'll see how the day goes. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate the love. And yeah, thank you guys. You have a good night. Bye-bye.